To 1 Corinthians today. You may not be aware, but on Wednesday night we have been studying through 1 Corinthians. We have been in Colossians on Sunday morning, but 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights. This past Wednesday night we had a special guest with us to speak, and so God just led me to move that service to today. So if you've been with us on Wednesday night, you're going to know where we are. If you haven't been with us on Wednesday night, you'll catch up and it'll be okay. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 50th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, please take your word, touch our hearts, draw us closer to Jesus. Give us understanding of the power of the gospel. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What a chapter. I hope you've been with us on Wednesday. And if not, you need to be with us on Wednesdays. But Paul is giving us wisdom in the 15th chapter of Corinthians that is unlike any other passage in the Bible. In fact, it is unlike any other writing anywhere at any time. No other belief system holds to what we believe and what is found here. The gospel is embedded with impossibilities. But impossibilities are not impossibilities. What is impossible with man is not impossible with God. The gospel is revealed here in this chapter. Almighty God would come in human form. And instead of being celebrated, he would suffer, bleed, and die for your sins and for mine. He would be taken from the cross. He would be buried to put our sins away. And then he would rise again, alive from the dead, proving that God had accepted the sacrifice. A great deal of time is spent in this book, and we've spent it in our studies, on the reality of the resurrection. May I say, if you can believe any of the gospel, you should not have a problem believing all of the gospel. God had to move in miraculous ways all through the gospel. If God exists, he does not have limits. The same God who can be born of a virgin is capable of living a sinless life. The one who cares enough to leave heaven for you is also willing to die to pay the debt for your sins. And once he has taken your sins to the cross, he puts them away in the grave so they may never hurt you again or anyone else. Now that same God who created life in the first place is greater than death. He can come back from sin, death, and the grave. That's what the resurrection is. The resurrection is not a problem for one who is all-loving, all-powerful, all-merciful. Because he lives, those of us who know him as our Savior and Lord will find eternal life. You see, the one that has victory over death can bring that same victory into your life if you believe in him. The resurrection of Jesus means your loved one that has died in faith, they died truly believing that Jesus died for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day. That loved one is still alive. That loved one may not be here, but that loved one is with Jesus. This means cancer cannot end your life. Alzheimer's cannot take your mind. The heart attack cannot stop you from ticking. The grave is not the end. For those who know Jesus, oh, it gets better. And so Paul brings us to tell us about these things, and he tells us about change. In verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In our present world, people resist change. People don't like change. There's an old joke you've probably heard me tell. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Change! No, we don't like change. Somebody moves your chair a little bit and you notice it. Somebody sits in your chair and you get all bent out of shape. Change. There comes a day when change has to happen. And in truth, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you should be changing every day to become more and more and more and more and more like Jesus. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to be where Jesus is in glory, if you want to come before the Father God in his sinless perfection, you're going to have to change. You're going to need to dress right. Now, certainly if you knew you were going to come before a dignitary, a famous person, an important person, you would want to dress right. If you were going to be in a situation where you were going to be before somebody who could affect your life, you would want to present yourself well. You know, somebody like your future mother-in-law. You'd want to present yourself well. Certainly if you would dress up for earthly dignitaries, we should dress right if we're going before a heavenly dignitary. If we're going to go before the God of the universe, we need to change. Coming into God's presence requires more than a good wardrobe. We're going to have to live in a different atmosphere. Have you ever seen someone getting ready to go into the depths of the sea? The helmet they wear, the outfit that they have to get into, or somebody that's going to go on a spacewalk, the outfit that they get into. You see, if one went to either one of those places in normal daily attire that you wear to work or you wear to school or even that you wear to church, one step into that new place, they would be in a whole lot of trouble. The problem is the atmosphere will not support our earthly bodies. When Jesus returns, believers will rise to meet him in the air. He will prepare us for our heavenly atmosphere. Notice when Jesus comes again, some believers will have died. Well, we know that to be true. When God speaks of the believer's death, he often gives the image of sleep. We think of death as permanent. But when God talks of death for the believers, he talks about sleeping, believers being at sleep, you know, like some of you in church. And he does that because those that are asleep can wake up. Sleep is a physical state. We know that when a believer dies, that the body goes to the ground and their spirit goes to be with Jesus. So there's a separation from your body and your spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, and I say and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You know, I have probably been to more funerals than all of you combined. I have been to a lot of gravesides. You know what? I have never been to a funeral that a believer who died was present. Now, I've been in the presence of their bodies, but they are absent from the body the moment they breathe their last, and they, believing in Jesus, are with him. Do you remember when Lazarus died? Martha told Jesus she knew Lazarus would live again at the resurrection. In John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatever lives and believes in me shall never die." If we die before Jesus returns, our spirit will go to be with Jesus. Our bodies will sleep awaiting the resurrection. Now, this is a mystery. It's kind of hard to understand. A mystery in the Bible is a truth that we could not know if God had not revealed it. So what we have here is the truth that if a believer dies before Jesus returns, their spirit is with Jesus. When Jesus comes back, those spirits will come with Jesus. Their resurrected body will be joined with their spirit, and they will be changed. The laws of death will be suspended. Now, you have probably heard me say, we're not getting off this planet alive. And that is true with this exception. And one of our young ladies pointed out this exception. She said, "You know, I don't believe that's true, that we're not getting off the planet alive, because of Jesus. When Jesus comes back, we're going to rise to meet him." Well, she was absolutely right. There is an exception to the truth that we're not getting off this planet alive. We're not getting off this planet alive as believers unless Jesus comes back. When Jesus returns, we who are alive and remain will rise to meet him in the air. The laws of death will be suspended, but that is the only occasion. Some will tell you the word rapture is not in the Bible. Let me tell you, they're absolutely right. Rapture comes from a Latin translation of a Greek phrase. The Greek phrase is to snatch away or catch away. That phrase is in the original text. There are a lot of English words that are not in the Bible. If you want to go to the original text, there are no English words in the Bible. Now, the original Bible was not written in English. It wasn't written in Latin. But true believers one day will be snatched away. And the Latin word for that is rapture. In this passage, Paul says it will happen at the last trumpet. There are some who say Jesus will not return till after the tribulation takes place. The tribulation will be 7 years of horror on the planet, 7 years of torment, 7 years of judgment. And some say, well, Jesus will come at the end of those 7 years. You know, I believe if that were the case, Paul would have put it down. He did not. "We shall not all sleep," he says, "but we shall all be changed." I like the fact he says "we." He's including himself in this number. You see, Paul is looking toward the return of Jesus Christ in his day. You know what we should be thinking? We should be thinking what that young lady was thinking that said that she didn't think that she was going to have to die, because we should all be looking for the return of Jesus. I want Jesus to come back. Now would be a great time. And we'll just rise to meet him in the air. And that would be wonderful. But Paul was thinking that in his day, because believers should always be looking for the return of Jesus. He's including himself, looking for Jesus to return. He is not looking for the great tribulation. Now, dead or alive, when Jesus returns, we will be changed if we know him as our Savior and Lord. We will be changed. I don't know if any of you guys have ever had to wait for your spouse to change. Sometimes it takes a while. And you sit down and you just kind of wait it out, and you know, and then she comes into the room saying, "Why are you just sitting there? You said we had to go." And you know, she didn't realize you've been kind of waiting for her to change. This change is going to be fast. The Bible says we will change in the twinkling of an eye. Our transformation will be as fast as it takes light to reflect off of one's eyeball. That's fast. Verse 52 says, it will happen in a moment. Now, the Greek word for moment is actually the word atom. Now, for the Greeks, an atom was the smallest amount of time possible. The actual word means that which cannot be split. Now, in today's world, yes, we know that an atom can be split. But for the Greek, that was not the case. So when they used this term, it was the smallest possible amount of time. Somebody actually did a calculation of what is the twinkling of an eye. They said it was 1/10,000th of a second. The trumpet will sound. Believers will no longer be earthbound. We will rise. The past week, I think, JD and T.O. asked me what the last trumpet would play. I think it has to be when the saints go marching in, don't you? I don't really know. We're not given that information. Now, there's going to be a trumpet. Trumpets are usually loud, but only believers rise. We're the only ones that hear it. That means there's going to be a sound that is heard that is loud enough to let us understand it's time to go up, but only believers hear it. God has a way of communicating things to believers that the rest of the world does not have to hear. Have you ever heard of a mosquito tone? Now, I'm not saying God's going to use a mosquito tone, but in today's world, there is something called a mosquito tone. It is a frequency so high that most adults cannot hear it. Most teenagers can. And so there have been records of problems in schools where teenagers have been caught using their telephones, having their telephone ringer set to a mosquito tone. I'm not telling you guys to do that. Parents can't hear it. Teachers can't hear it. But the students can hear it. It's 17,000 hertz. Well, it can be heard by some, but not heard by others. When the trumpet sounds, those of us that know Jesus as our Savior, we will hear it. Our corruptible bodies, the bodies we have now, are gonna fail us. I'm sorry, they just will. You know, we get slower, we get weaker. There comes a point that you can't always do the things that you used to do. Our bodies are in that process of aging and becoming less. Our bodies sag and drag with age. Hair deserts us or turns gray. wrinkles crease the skin, and then there's decay. But when the trumpet sounds, our corruptible bodies will put on the incorruptible. We will put on our resurrection bodies, and our resurrection bodies are going to be invulnerable. That means cancer will be gone. No more sickness can come into a corruptible body. We will no longer age. Our mortal dying bodies become immortal. We will no longer die. When Jesus returns, I'm changing. And if you got Jesus, you're changing too. So Paul tells us about change, and then he tells us about charity in verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Charity is a voluntary giving to help those in need. I've heard people say, well, I don't want any charity. I understand that. A person should work their best to provide for themselves and their family's needs, but if a person truly cannot do that, if they truly have needs that they cannot meet, then it's appropriate for other help to be there. We are sinners. The wages of sin is death. We can do nothing to earn God's forgiveness. We can do nothing to earn one moment in heaven. But what we could never earn, our dear God is willing to give us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. This gift, this charity, gives victory over sin, death, and the grave. In this life, it really looks like sin and death are getting the best of us all. Our sin brings death. And none of us can stand against the laws of God because we are all sinners. But where our sins lead to the grave and God's word condemns us in our sin, there is God's charity. There is God's grace. There is God's mercy. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result for everyone who will receive God's gift of Jesus is nothing less than total victory, victory, victory. In Jesus, when I breathe my last here, I have nothing, nothing to fear. And that brings us to the challenge. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast. Stand for Jesus. No matter what, be immovable. Determine that you are going to be what Jesus wants you to be. You're going to seek to be His child in His place, doing His work. Don't let anybody move you from God's purpose for your life. Don't move from faith in Jesus. Always believe in Jesus. It is Jesus who can get you through what this world throws at you. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Start producing for Jesus. Be faithful to Jesus. Don't turn away from Jesus in any way. And understand this, your labor is not in vain. Now, yesterday, we went to over 145 houses, and many houses, the people didn't come to the door. You know, they have those little ring picture-taking doorbells now. And so they took one look at us and said, nah, not going to that door. And so a lot of people didn't come to the door. There were times we shared the gospel, and in our group we got to share the gospel five times, and you know, most of the people were not at the point of making a decision, or they've already made a decision. And so we went through the day, and we had others present the gospel, and we came back, and yeah, the truth is, we did not see one profession of faith yesterday. Yet. Oh, and you could say, well, you know, what did we spend our time doing? We spent our time doing what Jesus wanted us to do. And listen, it doesn't go bad. It doesn't return void. Anything you do for Jesus at any time lasts for eternity. My dear believer, the devil tells you your life is worthless. The devil tells you that you are through. The devil tells you that there's nothing else you can do. We have senior adults in our church. Now, I know I'm probably getting close to where I could be called a senior adult, and it depends on where you look from. That's why I like to go to the TEL class. I'm a kid in there. And so, we have different age groups and different groups of people. But let me tell you, if you are breathing in and out, God still has a purpose for you. Don't quit because you've not seen what God might want to do through you yet. Worlds have been moved. Lives have been transformed. People have been changed because people didn't give up on Jesus. You know, you may be bound. You may not be able to do all the things you used to do. But don't live like your life is over, because if Jesus still has you here, oh, the greater days are ahead of us. They're not behind us. It's time to reach people for Jesus. It's time to serve Jesus. It's time to do what will last for all eternity. And oh my, if you're younger, just think of the opportunity. Think of the possibilities. Think of all that God has to accomplish through you. The devil will say you've already messed up, and all we can say is, yep. You've already let God down. Yep. You've already messed up your Christian life. Yep. Oh, Mr. Devil, Jesus isn't through with me. As long as I'm here, I've got a purpose. And as long as you're here, you've got a purpose. Let's be about His purpose. Let's understand the God who will change us in the future one day for all eternity wants to change us now, and He wants to use us for His glory. And everything, a drop of water given in His name, will last for all eternity as a gift to God. Oh my, what it will be when we stand before Jesus, knowing that we've accomplished so little, and He brags on us for the little that we did. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. If you don't know Him, if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, oh, my friend, this is the moment. This is the moment to open your heart to Jesus. This is the moment to say, I want Jesus. And in just a moment, we'll be standing here. You can come forward if you're in the room and just say, hey, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. If you sincerely want Jesus into your heart, listen, He will come into your heart. He will save you today. And you will be equipped when the trumpet blows. But if you say no, you're putting yourself in a dangerous spot, for you will not live forever in this world. And after this death, there comes judgment, and then there comes hell. You don't want to die in your sin. You don't want to die without Jesus. But my friend, I want you to know, you don't want to live without Him either. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus has possibilities and potentials that you cannot get any other way. Every day will use you. God's willing to use you in ways that eternity will rejoice in. So if you're a believer, let's get busy for Jesus. If you've gotten away from the Lord, maybe you want to just come to the altar. Make it a day of dedication. If you don't know Jesus, come and say, I want Jesus. He'll save your soul today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that You would take now this time that you would move within our hearts, that you would bring us to the decisions that we need to make. Father, as believers, we would follow you more closely. If we've been away from you, Father, that we would rededicate ourselves today and ask for forgiveness. And Father, for those that do not know you, that they would be willing to come and just say, I want Jesus, that they might be saved this day. And Father, if they're listening online, Father, that they would bow their heads and invite Jesus to come into their heart and forgive their sins and save their soul. And then that they would let us know that they've made that decision. Move within hearts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.